Next speaker is Paul Veroni, and his co-author is Ronald Bayart. Conservation tillage effects on stabilization of crop residue C.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon, everyone. I would like to acknowledge my co-author, Ron Barrett, who initiated this research more than 20 years ago as part of his PhD thesis and has since maintained the field site meticulously. So, and these are the results that I'm going to be talking about this afternoon. I'd also like to thank the previous speakers who have prepared presented a great background to all the areas that I'm not able to talk about, but certainly will complement what I am going to present. All right, the first data slide I'm going to show you is work that was conducted by David Jenkinson in 1965. It was work that was going on in several labs, actually, at that time. He was doing this work in Rothamsted, initiated probably about 1960. There was work going on in Germany by Sauerbeck and Fuhr and in Austria and Elderpol in Saskatchewan. And you saw a bit of that data last year, last day. As you can see here, he was simply wanting to know more about decay of crop residues in terms of understanding how they were contributing to soil organic matter. The data he obtained is this, I'm going to say, rather classic decay curve. Very rapid decay of the residue material, about one-third remaining after the first year. And you can see after that rapid period of decay, the much more slowing of the decomposition. He examined tops and roots and so on, and essentially there were some differences, but differences were really quite small. His conclusion from this study was that soil properties like, you know, chemical properties like organic matter content, soil texture, really didn't have very much of effect on decay of this residue material that he was looking at. He also looked at rates of residue decay, residue addition, and again, not finding serious differences, and showed that tops degraded a little bit more quickly than roots at the beginning, but by four years or so, not such big differences. He continued on with this work, looking at soils of different pH, soils of different clay content, and so on. And what you see is just building on his first study. After 1 year, about a third of the residue carbon remaining. After 5 years, about 20%. And after 10 years, about 10 to 12% of the residue material remaining. So, and what you see is that there are in these different treatments, some kept bare, some with grass, some low pH, some high clay. At the end of 10 years, not really quite a big difference, about 10 to 12%. Okay, so I just keep this in mind when you're going to be looking at the results that I'm presenting. All right, so he, again, just repeating that, pH, not a big deal, clay, et cetera. And again, by the end of 10 years, even where grass had been growing, about the same amount remaining. And as a true Canadian, decomposition over winter being a little bit slower than if it wasn't in warmer climates. Now, why are we concerned at all about crop residue management? Well, of course, you all know about what we've done to our soils in our clearing and cultivation, what has happened in the first 100 years or so. All our soils essentially have 30 to 60 and more percent less organic matter than under the native conditions. And certainly where there's erosion, losses are much more serious. And presently, for the last, I don't know, 20, 25 years, of course, there have been strategies being developed to try to correct some of these deficiencies. And more recently, the notion of being able to sequester carbon in soil. And so tillage practices are being looked at, cropping, different cropping systems, et cetera, to see how they can, how these practices can stabilize more carbon. And of course, currently, the big concern is how these residue materials are being used for production of biofuels, bioproducts, and even biochar. All right, it seems to be intuitive that tillage does something to organic matter decay, and the previous speaker certainly talked about it that in various ways. Now, the issue here is that the mechanisms controlling organic matter turnover in different pools are different. Okay, certainly decay of crop residue material is going to be accelerated. You can imagine it's good. The soil environment itself is a better environment for decay than leaving the residues on the soil surface. So that seems to be obvious. But the proportion of residue becoming stabilized, in fact, given that organic matter becomes stabilized by interaction with soil mineral constituents, you would think that incorporating residues would, in fact, promote stabilization of added material. And then lastly, you've heard a series of talks on how tillage might affect aggregation. If organic matter is indeed protected within aggregates, then tillage might disrupt these aggregates and therefore hasten the turnover of this organic matter. So it is, in the end, quite difficult to predict what will happen. Now, how to study organic matter? Well, the organic matter is rather difficult to study because the pools are really quite large and tillage and management have huge effects, and there's a lot of variable in organic matter levels. So measuring total organic matter pools is a little bit tricky because you have to consider variability, changes in distribution in the profile, changes in soil bulk density. We heard brilliant talk about using Delta C13 techniques. Certainly if you can switch from, or there are switches in vegetation from C3 to C4 or vice versa, that helps a lot in being able to detect or study, especially long-term studies. I have used, in this study, used C14 enrichment when it still was relatively easy to get a permit to use C14 in field studies. This is what I'm going to talk about. The site is a Fox loamy sand, very similar to previous speaker, essentially all sand, about 80% sand, very little clay, organic carbon content less than 1%, neutral pH. The site was really quite special. So it's on an Ag Canada site. It was set out, the plot itself for the field was established in 1933, and tobacco rye has been grown since. All right, so really very clean, and of course tobacco rye are both C3 plants, and when we established our site in 1990, one of the treatments we did include was corn, so that we could in fact see the incorporation of the corn carbon. I won't be talking about that. All right, the cropping systems that we chose, continuous corn, winter rye, tobacco as the control, and winter wheat, soybean rotation. And we employed two tillage treatments, the conventional tillage, which would be plowing and disking, just as what farmers are doing, and a conservation tillage, which I'm calling no-till, but in fact, sometimes it was a little bit more complex because no-tilling tobacco is not quite that straightforward, etc., but at least minimizing disturbance of the soil. The site itself, as we set it out, you can see what we did is there are both two series here so that we had both crops in the rotation and complete randomized block design with four blocks. So one side, one of the crops, and the other. All right, the plots, 8.6 by 22 meters, so relatively large, so we could use plot type equipment to maintain them. And we labeled the plants, all five of the plants, using a canopy technique 12 times over the growing season, attempting to label equal amounts of carbon. So we modeled plant growth, added carbon using these canopies, and in that way labeled the plant material. Grew the plants to maturity. And my student did this rather brilliant thing. On one of the micro plots, the micro plot where we labeled the plants, we harvest the above ground residue and transferred it to an adjacent micro plot and took those unlabeled residues and put them on the plot where the below ground residues had been labeled. In this way, we could study decay of both the above ground and below ground material. All right, and looking at the composition of the crop residues, I guess they are as what you might expect. You can see that the soybean residues and tobacco residues have a high concentration of hot water soluble carbon. You can see their CN ratios are relatively low, and we know that both of those factors would contribute to enhancing their decomposition. After that, the composition is relatively similar, and you can see the lignin content of these crops, these annual crops, are not so different, about 15%. But keep that in mind when you're looking at the decomposition data. All right, so here is the main curve, or the main data set here describing the decomposition of the residue. You can see it looks very similar to Jenkinson's experiment and other studies that have been done. In fact, frankly, I was quite disappointed when I first saw it because I had hoped that these residues, which were produced in the field and experiencing wind and storms and had been grown to maturity, would be much hardier, much more resistant to decay. But in fact, I didn't see that at all. You can note that during the initial period for the first, well, say 5 years or so, decay of the residues under no-till certainly was slower than those where the residues had been incorporated. To note, this is for the corn, but all residues are similar. The corn residues had been left on the soil surface, over winter, so that's not surprising that they're the same here. So this would be the first season of the comparison by fall. The last point to note here is, again, by 10 years, differences weren't so great. And certainly by 15 years, in this case, there is no difference between the no-till and conventional till in terms of the amount of corn carbon remaining. For many of the residues, like soybeans, for example, there in fact wasn't any difference even after 6 and 7 years. All right. All right, so I used a two-component model to describe the decay, and you can see that the model does show a difference in the proportion of labile material between the conventional till and the conservation till. About 80% across the board was in the labile pool for the conventional till, about 70-75% in the no-till. More rapid half-life for the conventional till residues. Slower decay, just as you would predict. And similarly, or following along that line for the more resistant pool, okay, about 20% in the conventional till, decaying with a half-life of about 8 to 9 years. And for the no-till, larger pool, and interestingly, decaying more quickly. Now, I want to show you this figure. This shows the changes in organic carbon content because I think you're probably wondering, am I able to change organic matter levels a lot? There are a couple of points I'd like to make here. First of all, in the tobacco rye system, which I assume is at steady state because it has been in tobacco rye since 1933, that it takes in that system about 8% of the soil carbon, 8% residue addition to maintain these carbon levels. And there are values similar to that in the literature. And if I do the same kind of calculation for the increases that we see here in soil organic carbon with these increasing amounts of organic matter addition, okay, that we are getting values of about 11 to 15% in terms of the changes in soil organic carbon content versus the change in residue addition. But the point here is that not very much of the residue that we add does become stabilized in the soil. It's important to keep in mind. That's why it's very difficult to detect management changes. And that should be an important thing to keep in mind. Now, in conclusion, conservation tillage did decrease the size and decay rate of the labile component of crop residues, as I described before, and increased the size and decay rate of the resistant component. And this is a summary of all of the residue that I looked at. And in the end, conservation tillage does not affect the proportion of crop residue becoming stabilized, very similar to what we'd seen before, 10% after 10 years, 7-8% remaining after 15 years. Now, the concern I have is in future, you should keep in mind that soils do need organic matter. We're starting off from a deficit, so we need to manage our crop residues very carefully. And it's not simply adding carbon to soil that's important, but that the decomposition of the residue, in fact, is going on within the soil. It is the aggregates that were spoken of earlier are being produced as a result of microbial activity, residues being decayed in soil, not simply additions to organic matter. And lastly, there's a, as you all know, a close interconnection between carbon and nitrogen and phosphorus and sulfur. So maintaining carbon levels is important for maintaining soil fertility generally. Thank you very much. Exactly. No, exactly. And you'd be building up a pool, but not in the end of that stabilized material. These would be intermediate pools, I suspect, that would be, say, probably accumulating in a light fraction or so. But the actual amount that would become stabilized in the end would not be different. I think that's what this is showing. But certainly you're completely correct, and we do accumulate organic matter, and there are differences in tillage. It's just, it's hard to, or it takes a rather long time. Probably we didn't start seeing changes in total organic matter as a result of tillage till after about 10 years.
Does that mean that there's some change after 10 years?
No, it's just that it changes are very slow to be measurable. Okay.